As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. Explore the mind of MLB All-Star, Silver Slugger, and Gold Glove winner, Brett Boone, as he sits down with his friends from the world of professional sports.
Now up to bat, Brett Boone.
Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. I am Brett Boone, and today I'm joined by three guys that I chat with every week. It's on their show, though, 97.3 The Fan. It's the Ben and Wood Show. It's the number one ranked sports radio show in San Diego and has been for a while now. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, we've got Ben Higgins, Stephen Woods, and Paul Reindl, my crew, every Wednesday morning. Guys, I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
This is an honor, Booney. Thank you for inviting us.
I feel wildly out of place right now. Unqualified.
I thought about it, and I just thought, you know, don't embarrass me. Not so much Ben and Paul. It's just Woodsy. Don't embarrass me. You know, come on. You get this kind of illustrious invite, and no, I'm kidding, guys. I love doing the show Wednesdays. Obviously, we do it every week, and it's fun, and you guys make it fun, and that's why I wanted a chance to kind of put you on my show. So, all right, opening topic, and I texted Paul last night just to make sure you guys were watching, because I do not watch, and as everybody knows, all my buddies know, I'm not a fan of anything. I'm a fan of sport. Okay, I'm a fan of sport. I don't have a favorite baseball team, of course. I have to cheer for a few teams really silently. But lately I've been going on all the shows, and the first question is, before we get to baseball, is, hey, you've been watching the World Cup? Mm-hmm. My answer every time is absolutely not. but I hear USA is doing really well. And of course, living in this country, just like when the hockey team wins, love hockey players, love them. When they're winning, when they won the Olympic gold, it's like, this is pretty awesome. It's a proud moment. But I don't watch hockey. I respect the heck out of the hockey player. I think they're the toughest athletes, and we're going to get to that in a minute. But I just want, okay, let's start with Ben. Give me your level of interest in this cup. What have you seen? And I did tune into the second half yesterday because I knew we were having this show today, and I watched. And I was disappointed. I had my soccer buddies, and I have soccer buddies. We're on a text thread. I laugh at them. I say, soccer's not a real sport, which obviously I'm kidding. But they said, Brett, this is the worst half you could have watched. We don't even want to watch anymore with what's going on out there. Give me the whole take, what you've seen in this whole tourney, Ben.
Well, first, Booney, I've got bad news for you. It's not like baseball where you can lose one game in the World Series and still come back and win the whole thing. It's right. Over for the United States. They're done, single elimination. So I think, you know, we don't know soccer well enough to analyze the X's and O's, but I don't think you need to know much more than being an athlete to know that our team played timidly and came out with a performance that wasn't nearly as good as we had seen in the group stage and the earlier matches that they had won. So I was disappointed as a casual fan watching the soccer. It was just not what I thought it was going to be. Now, as for watching the cup, it's a cultural thing right now. I mean, you go to any bar and restaurant here in San Diego. I'm sure it's the same across the country. People are spilling out the doors. It's something people want to do together, experience it all. It happens once every 4 years. It's like the Olympics on steroids a little bit, because everybody around the world just cares so much. How do you not get caught up in something that you feel like every single person around the world is kind of watching? You kind of have to get on board.
And it's true, because my wife tells me, you know, Brett, it's the most popular sport in the world. And I do know that. I mean, from a world, USA, no. But worldwide, definitely is. It's just, I played soccer as a kid. I loved it. I got kind of, my buddies kind of guilted me into playing football, because, you know, they said I'm a wuss and how can you play soccer, Brett? And deep down I'm going, I love soccer, and it made me quit and play peewee football, and it ended up being all good, but I loved it. But watching it, I don't know, I watched them. They had a hydration break yesterday.
Yep,
who has a hydration break? Are we getting that soft?
Yeah, I've seen some of the soccer purists getting upset about that as well. Listen, I grew up in Texas, Booney, and I was not tough enough to play football back in Texas. But I remember actively, like, coaches withholding water. I remember them being like, you don't get any water until we're, you know, and it's 104 degrees. I've come a long way on hydration, to be honest with you. I say more hydration, the better. I promote hydration.
Every inning is a hydration break in baseball.
Every inning.
You got one every single half inning.
It's true.
Yeah, but then again, that's why they have substitutions. You can go get an orange slice and some hydration.
It's crazy though, because I was always like you, Booney. I was like, I just can't do it, man. And all my buddies, you know, my Euro trash buddies, they just loved soccer, and they just jammed it down my throat. And I'd watch it, and I'm like, guys, I'm falling asleep. But then they're like, yeah, but you watch 162 baseball games a year. I'm like, yeah, plus spring training, plus the playoffs, plus the World Series. They're like, that's
plus
not
fantasy boring. Camp. Plus fantasy camp.
And I go, yeah, it's not boring if you're, you know, intelligent and you can follow along and you know the game within the game. And they said, it's the same thing in soccer, dude. And they started to explain it to me in a way, and I went, oh yeah, you're right. There is an art form to this. And then when we got a team here, SDFC, I was like, I'll give it a shot. And I really started to dig these guys, and we went to a game and it was incredible. My kids loved it. And so, yeah, I've come a long way on it. I've enjoyed this World Cup tremendously. I've found myself appointment viewing, like running home to watch games, which is so rare for me.
Paulie, what do you think? You know what I noticed right away, Paulie?
Yeah.
Because the NBA's gotten to a point, and I can't stand the flop. I guess every sport, you know, we pretend like we're hurt more than we really are sometimes. Sure. I used to do it when I got hit by a pitch, but I had a different reason. There was a method to my madness. Not because I was hurt. I wanted sympathy from the pitcher. I wanted to set up the next at bat to make sure he wouldn't throw me a fastball in. Now it becomes predictable. With the replay, you can't really fake it if you didn't get hurt. Back then, we had to sell it. The flop, it seems like, and this is how crazy I watch these guys and I watch them fall, and it's always they're holding their ankle or something. Yep.
The knee.
I went to Grok and I said, Grok, you know, the AI, and I said, is flopping really this prevalent in soccer? And then the guy started getting funny with me, the Grok guy, and he's like, well, absolutely. They seem like they get shot by a howitzer when they go down. I thought that was funny. I just wanted to see if the flop was really a thing. Paulie, your take on the World Cup soccer as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, the flop, it's still there. It still exists. I think for me, I have no shame in admitting, out of the three of us, I'm the most casual of soccer fans. It's probably the nicest way to put it. My interest in soccer in general is like a 3 or 4 on a scale of 1 to 10. Having said that, the World Cup has been a phenomenal tournament this year. And I've had friends say, like, this year in particular, this year's tournament has been unbelievable. There's been penalty kicks and feels like half the games. And for me, because I don't really, obviously you have Team USA as your dog in the fight and they're eliminated now. But even throughout the tournament, Brett, because I'm not super attached to soccer, I found myself just watching the game still and rooting for Cape Verde and Norway and Team Mexico, like falling in love with the storylines, and maybe it's an underdog, or, you know, this country would really love it and appreciate it. It means so much to them. So I get myself involved that way. But ultimately, you know, I'll pretend to care again in 4 years.
Well, you know what I thought was cool though, and I did, and it was in Seattle yesterday. The game, the U.S. game, the level of passion that the fans have is unbelievable. And as much as soccer is not my game, I watched them in the crowd yesterday. USA head to toe. They had, I don't know how they got the drums in the ballpark. I guess you're allowed to bring drums. But I mean, these guys, like, and I was kind of a little bit envious. Like, that would be really cool being on that field right now. Because when when you play this game, when you play whatever particular game you play, mine was baseball, you can't, I didn't care whether it was a hostile crowd, a crowd pulling for me, just the energy and the passion coming from the fans that fuels you as a player is like, well, you know, I'm in foreign territory here. Maybe I'm the enemy today, but the level of the fan interact, it makes you feel so alive. Like, wow, I'm hated right now, but I love how much these fans are into it. And I was a little bit envious watching that yesterday. I thought it was really cool.
I will admit that soccer fans work a lot harder than baseball fans.
They do.
And they're standing and chanting the whole game. It's honestly exhausting to watch them.
I got 162 of these.
With the drums and the songs. Like, I'm a baseball fan. I'm going to eat 2.5 hot dogs and have a beer and maybe pay attention a little bit and sometimes stop paying attention and just have a conversation with my buddy. That doesn't go on at these soccer games.
There's no like conversations. Here on the West Coast, people will wake up at 4 a.m. and be at a bar by 5 a.m. for a match to start.
They might not sell anything at the concession stands at soccer games. You don't have any time to eat anything. You're cheering the entire time.
Yep.
But hey, that's the reason it's the number one sport in the world, because these fans are there. You got to be a little cuckoo. But if I'm in that particular sport, I love it. Do you think because the USA did well and going into this tournament, they weren't even close to a favorite, but as good well as they did, do you think that was the reason it's been so big? This particular World Cup is because US was exceeding expectations.
Honestly, I think this is one of those cases, Booney, where the U.S. does not, not that they don't factor in, but obviously host country and things like that, that's important. But honestly, like, what I've come to realize is how important it is to the other communities, the other countries, like Paulie mentioned, Cape Verde, things like that. Those are the stories that get you. You know, we want to be the best at everything in the United States. And oftentimes we think we are the best at everything. But it's a good reminder that we got a lot of work to do, right? We got a lot of work to do. And I think it's important to know that, like, now you're asking Padres fans this, right? Like, hey, did we do good, well enough? You're like, hey, we did pretty well. Made it to the, what, Sweet 16, I guess, of the tournament. Well done, U.S. That's beyond my expectation for this team based on how my buddies have talked about the U.S. men's team for years. So I don't know, man. I thought good tournament overall, but this is kind of what we've come to expect. Nothing shocking.
You think the majority of the fans, like in the United States, will they go back to being like Paul and myself? Like, yeah, all right, we'll see you in 4 years. Will it add a jolt to U.S. soccer?
I think a majority will, right? I think MLS has done a lot of good, especially here in San Diego for guys like me, more likely to tune in on a Saturday night to watch an MLS game.
Until the USA breaks through in the World Cup and gets to the final four, a couple more rounds further, I think that would captivate the country more. But until that happens, I think it's going to be the hardcore, the diehards. And then I think, well, like Wood said, the majority will go back to...
How many people are really bigger minor league baseball fans than they are major league baseball fans? And in soccer, the major leagues are played in Europe,
right?
And if you want to watch a major leagues, you know, baseball game, the soccer equivalent, you got to wake up at 4 a.m. on the West Coast here and watch it on television, or travel thousands of miles across the Atlantic to go see one of the top teams play. So I think that's always going to limit us here in this country. We know we're not cheering for the very best version,
correct,
of the product, where in baseball and basketball and football, we're absolutely cheering for the best version of the product. And that's really never going to be the case in soccer. It's always going to be in Europe and some of the other countries that have the best version of soccer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's true. And it is a cultural thing. I mean, when you're a kid and you grow up in Europe, your first Christmas, you probably get a soccer ball under the tree.
No question.
Whereas in Canada, you probably get a hockey stick.
Yep.
And in America, you're either going to get a football, a baseball, maybe a basketball. But you're right. It is culture. And that's what they grew up doing. That's what they love. Japan. You're gonna get a baseball bat. Yep. You're gonna get a glove for your first, for your first holiday. So
yeah, I'll tell you, Booney, you gotta get the soccer is great and so many kids play it, but we gotta get the soccer field, you gotta get the soccer players off the baseball fields because as a coach, every time I go to have a practice or a game, I gotta move they're literally renting out the outfield. I'm not joking. I went to book a field the other day and they said, yeah, you can have the infield. And I go, guys, this is for a scrimmage. And I said, what's going on in the outfield? They said, that's a separate fee. I go, what's that for? They go, oh, it's for soccer. I go, it's a baseball diamond. Like, you're telling me I can play a scrimmage on the dirt and the dirt only. That's it. Everyone talks about youth sports, Booney, and the number one problem for youth sports, they always say, is the parents. It's not. It's the field space. Field space. You can't teach these kids baseball. Why? There's nowhere to teach them.
Teach them on the left side of the infield.
Left side of the whole, yeah. I'm supposed to play a scrimmage on just the dirt, and the ball could, if my son gets a hold of one, hits it in the gap, it's going to hit a bunch of six-year-olds playing soccer out there. So it's maddening. So I love soccer. Get your own space.
All right. This goes to a wider sub. And I mentioned the flopping earlier. But I'm talking, you guys do this 5 days a week. You cover all sports. And it's like when you look at sports today, and I'm not going to sit here, we were so tough. But I look across, you hear, and maybe this is a generational thing. I'm sure my grandpa said this about dad. I'm sure dad said this about me. You guys are soft. You're weak. And I do think as time goes on, we do get weaker. And I think dad was tougher than me. And I think Grandpa Ray was tougher than dad. I really do. You grow up in the Great Depression. You tend to be a little tougher than your sibling. Mm-hmm. Or I'm sorry, than your offspring. But sports as a whole, when you go to the NFL, quarterback after quarterback. I never played it down in the NFL, but you see these quarterbacks, it's so much easier to pass today. Why? Because of the rules. Because of going across the middle, there's less rules, and there's a bigger spot to throw it. I hear that in the NFL. In the NBA, you hear those guys from back in the day, those Detroit Pistons, you see them interviewed, the way they broke down other teams and just beat them up. You can't do that in the NBA. Baseball, my sport, you can't take runners out at second anymore. You can't blast the catcher, which was a big part of the game. I remember when they took that away, my dad kind of being an old school guy, because, that was half my job being good at that. I understand the money in the game, the finances. These owners, I understand you want to protect your product, but do you think the game is getting softer and are we going to continue to go down this road as future generations does? There's going to be more rules and more regulations to keep everybody safe. Meanwhile, my sport, baseball, there are more injuries, and I don't know statistically, but just watching and the feel I get is there are so many injuries. I can't even keep up. Every day somebody's going down. 10-day IL. So it seems like the rules are getting stricter to protect the players. But across the board in every sport, it seems like everybody gets hurt a ton more. Or am I wrong?
Nobody's protecting. I always think about pitchers. And as a coach, it's something I have to. We're just now getting into the kid pitch, right? And I have to protect these kids' arms. It's my duty to do so. And I take it very, very seriously. And, chasing some $5 plastic ring on a weekend up in Riverside, playing, my kids playing six games in 3 days or six games in 2 days, it has no interest to me. My job is to teach them the game and protect their arms. And I just saw a tweet come out today. Game Changer is an app that a lot of coaches and parents use, and you can track the data. And so they can go in and find, hey, in these kids, this age group are throwing this many pitches. One kid, 12 years old, threw 145 pitches on Friday, threw 70 pitches on Saturday, had one day of rest, and then threw 60 pitches in the championship on Monday. Oof. He's 12 years old. I wonder why his arm's done at 17. You know, the chasing velo is a big thing too. As far as it goes, like football, basketball, like you said it, Booney, right? When you were asking the question, it's all about money. And if I'm an owner, I want rules to protect my players. As a viewer, do I miss guys getting blown up at home plate? Yeah, I do. I miss it. I don't miss the takeout slot, like the one that Flan always shows me, Tim Flannery, former Padres second baseman. I mean, he shows me when he's getting killed. And I'm like, Flan, I don't want that for...
That'd be assault now.
I don't want that for Xander. You know, I don't want that for the guy sliding into him. I mean, I'd like you to have a long career, but blowing up the catcher, I always liked. I always thought it was great. And it was like, you have all this gear on. He has a shot to take you out.
Woodsy. That's the one thing I do hate the most out of, like, because you know what? I've come around on a lot of the modern game. It seems like every couple of years we have a new rules being implemented. Yep. And of course, at first I always say, oh, that's not going to, I've been pleasantly surprised at the rules changes in the game of baseball. I think a lot of them, for the most part, that I questioned at first or was a little bit skeptical of, more times than not, I'm going, I was wrong. And it is better for the game.
Yeah.
But taking out the runner at second base, what
you miss that?
That is my bread and butter. That is what we could hang our hat on as a second baseman. It's like anybody, any shortstop can move over to second base physically, talent wise, and play the game at second base. It's almost an insult to a shortstop to put him at second.
Sure.
Where I made my money and earned my stripes was that game on the line, you know, pick somebody. Albert Bell coming in and wanting to knock me into left field and me hanging in there, turning it right in his face, flipping up in the air, don't get hurt, and just laugh at them. Like, if I do this correctly, you cannot hurt me. And that's where we hung our hat. That's what separated the good and the great second basemen, the guys that could turn it with somebody in your face. Nowadays, anybody can turn a double play. I can put a left fielder at second.
Oh, yeah. No question.
You can't run into me. So, yeah.
We have a right fielder at second base here. So, right. Yeah.
Personally, I'm offended by the rule.
But I don't think – I disagree, Booney, that today's players are softer. I know why people have that perception. But – what did John Kruk used to say? You can't pull fat. You can't pull fat. The guys train so much now because to get noticed, you really have to be an athlete. There's a couple of exceptions of guys who are still a little hefty, but for the most part, aren't guys now in so much better shape than even the guys you played with? Certainly the guys your dad and your grandpa played with. And with all that training and all that speed that they unleash out there, the strength, it's going to come with more muscle injuries, you know, but you have to get that in that shape to be able to excel on the major league level. With pitching, it's obvious. You don't even get noticed unless you throw high 90s anymore. But to throw high 90s, you have to put your arm in incredible risk throughout your entire life to build it up, to get to that level, to maintain that level. You are, of course, going to get more injuries, but it's because you're training harder, training longer, doing more to get to that level. That's not soft. That's hard work. That's much more work that they're putting in the gym than guys ever did 50, 60 years ago. But that is also leading to more injuries and the pulls and the strains that you see from players on a constant basis now.
We're trading all of that toughness from previous generations into still like the top, the most elite of the sport that we've ever seen. I mean, back in the 90s, they may have been tougher and they may have had to collide at home plate, but you also didn't have to see Mason Miller's 103-mile-an-hour fastball in the ninth inning every night or Jacob Mizorowski. Like, if you picked him up and plopped him into 1992, guys would be tripping all over themselves. Like, who is this guy?
Freak.
You know, Shohei Ohtani, we've never seen a two-way player. Like, he's all by himself. But that's going to come with more injuries. And, you know, I think with pitchers in particular, for me, I was a high school coach not too long ago, and all of these kids are already entering high school on 2 to 3 club teams now. It used to be, at least, you know, back in my day it was you played baseball during baseball season, then you played soccer during soccer season, and during the winter you'd play basketball during the basketball season. All of these kids, not all of them, but so many of them nowadays, Booney, they're on multiple travel teams and select club teams, and they have their own personal hitting coach and their own personal pitching coach, and they're performing all year long. And I would have to have conversations conversations with kids. You know, maybe it's the high school season now. It's, you know, April or whatever of the year. Hey, I don't want to hear one word about your club team. This, it's school season. You're on the school team, but they have so many obligations now, these kids do.
Yeah.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a brand new show. It's called Money Moves. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.